Many operas portray true love very well in a very direct and familiar way that the whole audience can relate to. The first time they fell in love, yes, it felt like that. Tristan und Isolde of Wagner is a love story, but it's very different from anything familiar. This is the union of souls on an extreme metaphysical level. This touches on the mystical union of light and dark, and life and death, and every sort of duality. There is a love scene between these two lovers that is pretty much the whole central act of the opera, and it is an exploration of the idea of the union of, if not opposites, of two separate entities. The whole issue of duality and bringing duality back together. That's what's going on in this love scene. It is considered, and rightly so, the supreme love scene in opera, and maybe because it takes the idea of one man and one woman, which is the most pedestrian thing there is, and projects it onto the cosmic level. Very convincingly. Another aspect to this love scene that Wagner was working on was the idea of endless melody. The origin of this idea is a love that doesn't die. And this is going to be represented in a melody that does not resolve. It keeps morphing into something else. And not only into something else, but the something else into which it morphs is an inevitable outcome. Keeps going on in these repeating cycles, almost Fibonacci-type swirls. Really, I think all modern poetry owes an uncredited debt to the formlessness of the libretto of Tristan and Isolde. This is not the way people talk when they meet and fall in love. That's not what's going on here. There's a point at which they are no longer trying to be syntactically logical. In other words, they get out into the Twinkie zone. Tristan says, "Our love, Tristan's love, yours and mine, Isolde's love. What blow by death could ever make it yield?" It's a very old story from the legends of the Middle Ages. Tristan and Isolde have this love. She's married to the king, who is Tristan's benefactor, and he loves the king, but he can't help it. They can't help themselves. Can anybody, of course, is the question. They arrange for secret nighttime meetings, and they get rid of the king, and they have Brangaena, Isolde's maid, looking out, making sure nobody's coming, saying, "Be careful, the sun is coming, the morning is coming, and reality," in big quotes, "is going to burst in on this night of lovemaking." careful. The sun will rise. The sun in this world is a bad thing. That's another medieval tradition. If you're a lover, that means the party's over. Now, in this world where there's only the union of Tristan and Isolde, this voice of Brangaena, is this really somebody standing on the side saying, be careful? Because she doesn't sound like she's saying, be careful. It's a benediction on their love as well as a warning. It is the icing on the cake, as well as telling them this is the finite limit of your pleasure. It's all these things at once. And for me, I always get a chill right there, because it shows you that these are people who are in love on a concrete level, but they're also ideas that are swirling in and out of each other in a much more vaporous dimension.